Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hang on. What do we got? Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today,
apparently
inspiring you to succeed with all your.
Let's see if we stop that here. Apparently, we're having some problems in the technical area of our show today.
I see that.
How are you, Tim?
I'm very good. Thank you, Johnny. How are you?
I'm awesome. So let's start this over again. So first of all, welcome to the show, gang. It's the power of vision today and throughout history. And I am absolutely thrilled not only to have someone who I consider a dear close friend, but a guest and co-host, Tim McGee. And Tim, he's a serial entrepreneur. The guy's an unbelievably inspirational speaker. I've spent many, many, many years having the blessed opportunity to engage in from an audience perspective, as well as sit on the stage with many great speakers. But I would have to say, and I'm not stroking you here, Tim, Tim McGee is hands down one of the top three speakers I've actually ever had the blessing to hear in my life. And on top of that, he's an amazing coach. He's an extremely highly successful business executive. He was a big wheel at Best Buy for many, many years, as well as all over the globe. So, Tim, welcome. It's just wonderful to have you on the show.
Thanks, Johnny. Good to be here and good to catch up once again. I know you're busy with lots of projects, which is always exciting, but good to be here.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, it's funny you say that because we just literally opened up a brand new business here. It's less than 2 weeks ago, and I'm actually sitting in the back office of that business right now that I'm very gracious
and
saying that. Thanks, man. It's going very, very well, so thank you. So today's conversation, the power of vision today and throughout history. And I guess the secret, the tough question, we see this all the time. I mean, you hear in conversations, you look at the cover of Time Magazine, People, News, we could go right down the list, and you see some of the common characters on there. You know, and you use examples, you know, we talk about Bill Gates, you talk about, you know, Warren Buffett, you see a Mark Zuckerberg, you see Pope Francis. And it's very difficult to go into any circles, whether or not you agree with the way in which they approach business or approach life. It's very difficult to find an audience out there that would say that they're not visionaries, and that in one way, shape, or form, and use the Pope as an example, I think that eliminates a debate in anything, they're great, great leaders. But at the same time, there's a whole host of other groups, which is the much, much larger percentage of the population of leaders out there that others would say not only they're not visionaries, but they're delusional or either daydreamers. Help me understand that, Tim. I mean, it's commonplace, but why is it such a small segment or percentage of our business, not even just business, but our social population fit into this small elite group of what we would call a visionary, depending on how you define it?
Well, how many people do you know that are personally successful in their business and in their business life and in their personal life? How many people off the top of your head, Johnny, can you think of that are extremely successful like that?
You can count that probably on truly when you say the ultimate in work-life balance, you could probably count that on one hand and certainly no more than two.
Because it's difficult. It's difficult to do. People get distracted. And there are so many opportunities to get distracted and take you off of your mission. Whether that's personally, whether that's professionally, there are so many distractions out there. The latest Netflix show, my children, daycare, both parents are potentially working. I travel for a living. I'm tired. My health, the list goes on and on. But the reason why you can count it on one hand is because it is difficult. And that's why I don't personally know too many people that are outrageously successful. And they're not, because what happens is they get distracted, just like what I've got distracted in my life. And if you hold true to the vision of what you want, and I think we're talking about the power of vision today, but where vision really shows up is in your relationships, it's in your health, it's in your business life. The reason why you're in the back of a building that is one of your new businesses is because you had a vision for, I'm going to create this business, I'm going to place it in this location, and I'm going to go get it done. And so before we end this, we're going to talk about really simple steps to make sure that you manifest your vision. However, if you back up for a second, it's because most people do not take the time, Johnny, to paint the picture of what their vision must look like. And ironically enough, last night, and you and I picked this topic, I think a couple months ago, didn't we, or 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Of what the power of vision is. Last night, we had about six people over to our house, and we did vision boards. So we all did these vision boards about, you know, whatever we have and want to manifest in our life. and we put it on these cardboard pieces that my wife bought. We put up pictures and words, and people, everybody had a different vision for what their life is. Some people wanted to make $1 million or $2 million by the end of next year. Some people wanted health. Some people wanted to get married. Some people wanted to have a stronger faith or belief system. Some people working on just quality relationships on their vision board. Now, I can flat out tell you, while there's lots of people that do vision boards, there's very few people that manifest it. But step one is you need to slow down and spend some time thinking about what is the vision I have for my life? What is it that I have in my relationships? What's the vision I have for my business? And it can't stop there. Then you got to do something about it, Johnny. And I think that's the difference. That's the difference between people that go execute their vision and those that still stumble along, because the world constantly is throwing distractions at us. And that distraction doesn't stop for anyone. But those that are successful at it, Johnny, they find a way to stay on course and not get taken off or take a misstep off of their vision.
I think that's, as you say that, I think about for anyone who's actually opened a business, and you could almost say any kind of business. I don't know, you know, so when I could tell you when I was building out my executive coaching and in the consulting business, you know, and you can appreciate this, Tim, we were spoiled. And, you know, I've told this story many, many times before, and I think it plays well into the conversation today, is when I was single and raising three children, I thought I was a pretty organized cat. I was still traveling. I had three amazing kids, you know, getting all sorts of compliments as to how do you do it? How do you do it? And I'd always give this credit to the good Lord because I had no idea how I was doing it. But I always considered myself incredibly organized, like the guru of being organized, and which you'll soon find out. I'm going to quickly define delusional here for you in a moment. And I thought I was really organized. And then so I met my beautiful wife, Doreen. And then as we started sharing the same home, the more I was around her, the more I started realizing that maybe I wasn't quite as organized as I thought I was. And then when I opted to leave, you know, the fast-paced world of a Fortune 50 company, and at that point I gave up. Actually, my executive assistant left the organization the same time I did. But when I left and I gave up my executive assistant, I came to another realization. So not only did I move from thinking I was the most organized cat in the world to thinking maybe I had a little bit of work to do when I met my wife, when I lost my executive assistant, I was now convinced and was brought down to the hardcore reality that I am now probably the most disorganized person on the face of the earth. You take that and you couple that with trying to open your own business where now what you're relying on is your network and a group of resources and friends, of which you've always had someone else doing that. And I now know opening up, you know, now this business here, it's no matter how much experience you have in a business environment, it always goes back to those you surround yourself with. And I think vision, and so many, and this is what I think is the difference between having a vision and being a visionary is being able to take it and apply it and put it into action. And this is where people stumble, because what you find out, and you and I were talking, Tim, right before the call, we were talking about Dick Schultz. One of the most passionate visionaries I've ever come across in my life, the CEO and the founder of Best Buy. And you look at the common characteristics of leaders like that, whether it's business or in a social environment. And the one thing that is a common denominator about all of them is they are intensely ruthless. I don't mean. I mean ruthless in a way that no one or nothing is going to get in their way. They're working the 18 hours a day on very little sleep. They're pushing it. They're working twice as hard as anyone else that works for them. I mean, it's a hell of a lot of work. Being a visionary isn't just sitting back in the big leather chair and coming up with great ideas and going out and executing. It's nothing like that at all, is it?
No, I think, you know, really what you're talking about is unwavering, is that when people are committed and dedicated to their vision, they're unwavering. Of course, you know, which brings you to the next point. Execution without vision, I just read this a little while ago, execution without vision is a nightmare. Vision without execution is a daydream. And so as we're thinking about that, we have to understand that the core principle of vision and having vision is really what your target is and where you see things going to and manifesting those in your life. Dick, you know, in using Dick's example, Dick was able to manifest Best Buy because he had such a an unwavering vision for where he wanted to take his company. I'm working with a company here in Scottsdale, a very big contracting company that does business in about 13 states. And it's very interesting for me to see the CEO has great vision for where he wants to take it, but there are some opportunities amongst him manifesting what that vision is for his company. And I think there's a number of steps that you have to take to manifest your vision and actually bring it to fruition. But, you know, step one is getting clear in that vision. You know, Johnny, it reminds me of I was just going to add that in Proverbs, even in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And I don't think that could be lost on anybody. If I don't have vision in my life, I'm going to get distracted. I'm not going to be able to buy into what my next steps are. And for years, Johnny, I kind of call it my wandering years. After I left an executive role, I wandered for a number of years and did some consulting and meandered around, but I really was walking around purposeless other than to make more money. And I have to tell you, it was so unfulfilling. I backed out of my consulting company for a while I was making more money than I ever made when I was an executive at a company, because I quickly realized that wasn't the vision I had for myself. The vision I really had for myself was much different than how I was aligning myself. And so I think if we can be clear about vision, that's step one in living a very fundamental, peaceful, loving existence.
I love that. You know, and I think where people get confused too is I think a lot of times when they see these, if you were to look at, people have this perception that when you look in the dictionary and you see visionary, you see someone in this power, you know, their big red power tie and incredibly, you know, forceful, strong individuals, and they never waver. I mean, in a lot of cases, that's the perception. What I would do is I would challenge that thinking, is that in any true blue visionary, successful visionary, when I define success, Tim, you did at the beginning of this call, I think in a very overt way, it's success for many people is defined differently. For me, it's not about finances, right? Now, being able to afford to do things when you want to do them, that is nice. Make no mistake about it. But it's how you define, you know, what type of human being you are away from the office. But a lot of one of the most common character. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I was just going to say that I was on a chairlift about 7 years ago in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I'm sorry. This chairlift was actually in Colorado, and this lady just at Vail, actually, and this lady was telling me that she just had left her corporate job. We're riding up the chairlift, and she said, "But the vision I had for my life was that I would live here in Vail, Colorado. I'd ski a few days a week, and I'd open up a small business." Today, that same lady owns a spa, a couple other businesses in Vail, Colorado, and that was the vision for her life. What she did was she left New York City, where she was in a shoe company as an executive, and said, "That's not the life I want. The life I want is this," and repainted a new vision. And I think it's important, Johnny, that we can't live on our old vision. We have to constantly reaffirm the new vision for our life. And as we get older, or as we go through different seasons in our lifetime, that we have to constantly paint a new vision.
Do you think, and I think as you say that, go back to one of my original points, we talk about common characteristics of a true visionary is humility. And I think that's lost quite often. Because you look at, you know, when you talk about the cover of these magazines and see how these men and women dress, you think that they're just always so strong. They have no weaknesses. And what I can tell you firsthand, and Tim, I'm confident that you can as well, I work with these executives on a regular basis, and they are very much human. They have the same exact struggles that every other human does. And you can say, well, though, they've got all the money in the world. I can tell you that just breeds more challenges than less. But in that same vein, though, we talk about a much more when you talk about retooling and rethinking how a visionary goes through life and the ability to bob and weave and adjust that vision as they move forward, it's having the humility to know when you're going down a certain road that maybe may not be the most healthy for you financially, socially, mentally, emotionally, or from a relationship perspective, and be able to redirect your energies in yourself and move a different direction. And I think that's what's so difficult. You see these people, they start companies, and they go back to this, "I'll, you know, burn the boats, I'll go down with the ship." And sure enough, they burn the boats and they go down with the ship. without stopping long enough to really determine what's the true need out there. And like the woman you're talking about, she says open a small business. But I will tell you the other thing about any other visionary, it's really difficult to stop at just one, right? It's like the whole, remember the old cereal, the life cereal when we were growing up? It's once they begin, it's just that, it's just how we're wired, Tim. I mean, I know you. You know, you want to do the consulting thing. I know why you left the consulting business. It's the same reason that a lot of us struggle, is that you're passionate in what you do. It's what I call it. The good Lord has given us all very, very amazing gifts. And those who listen to this show on a regular basis are going to be like, here goes Johnny again. So, yeah, here goes Johnny again. Is the good Lord has given us all these beautiful gifts. And he hasn't given us all the same gifts, right? That's the true spirit of diversity. In exchange for giving us these wonderful gifts, he has an expectation. And the expectation is that we're going to share these gifts. We're not going to put them under a bushel basket. We're going to share these gifts with others to make the world a better place. And I know you, Tim, firsthand, is that one of the many gifts that the good Lord gave you is the ability to motivate, inspire, and help take ordinary people and move them to spaces where they can do extraordinary things. And so someone like you, I could see very easily how it would be very difficult for you to go into any organization. They say, Tim, could you help me build an org chart, an org structure as to how I should set up my leadership team? Now, are you capable of doing that? Yeah, you could stay home and do that in your underwear. I know you well enough. Is that where your true passion is, and would that fulfill you? I don't know this because you haven't shared this with me, but I have to believe that's part of what drove you to take on and do other things.
Well, I think it's two things. If you're uncomfortable with your inner self, you're going to constantly seek and pursue new opportunities. Unfortunately, you often fill up your social self. So you fill it up with a new car, a new house, new gifts, new watch, new jewelry, party, drink, whatever that might look like to you for filling up your social self. That might be you get overly active, you train for marathons, you fill up your social self. And I'm not saying you do that because you're not happy with your inner self, but oftentimes that's the case. I want to go back to your point, which was about humility. In one of my key principles to success, Johnny, you have to have honesty of self-appraisal. So if you can't be honest with yourself, it's really hard for you to get to your new and it's hard for you to kind of find your journey and your path if you're not truly being honest with who you are. And that's not always fun. Sometimes that's a bit of a painful process to go, wow, I really do have some anger inside of me. Or I went sideways a few weeks ago, by the way, with one of my business partners, and I just lost it. And I wasn't proud about the way I behaved. I wasn't proud about the language I chose. But at the end of the day, I had to look in my mirror to try and resolve that problem. Otherwise, our business would have ended in that week. And really, I had to own that I was the biggest part of that issue. And if I wasn't willing to do that, Johnny, there's no way I would have been able to move our business forward and it would have stopped. So I think, step one is being honest with yourself in this process. You did mention gifts, and I think when you add the gifts that the universe has given you or God has given you or however you want to define that, and everybody has those, and you couple that with some of the skills that you do have, and then you add knowledge to that, that's powerful. And that is almost like an anointed moment because you are so strong and so keen on your individual strengths. So I think gifts plus skills plus knowledge leads you to put yourself into a position to do something very, very unique. And I hope for everybody listening and for even myself, because I did a new vision board last night, is that I want to bring my vision board to manifestation because I do want quality relationships. I do want to be healthy. I do want to have a good faith, whatever I choose that to be. And I am an adventure guy. I love adventure, and so a part of my board is about adventure. And then there's a big part of my board about contribution and giving back and making money. Those all matter to me. And so if I can take the gifts that I've been blessed with and add skills and add knowledge, I know that troika can lead to very good manifestation of what I have for the vision for my life.
So let's talk for a moment about, I actually want to talk about two things. So you were talking about just last week, and we all know that there's a big difference between the education you receive in an academic environment and those of which we call wisdom. The only way you ever acquire wisdom in life is through experience. And I am a firm believer firsthand that it's those most painful experiences in life, those are the most valuable. And I know for myself, I can tell you that I've made life choices that I certainly, you know, I wasn't proud of. And some people would say, yeah, but you were a kid, you were young, you were blah, 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 all those other things, right? You were just a normal human being. And yes, you know, I made the same types of mistakes normal human beings do, and, you know, made some bad judgment calls and that. But I am who I am because of those things I've done, and I'm grateful for those experiences. Not necessarily proud in some cases, but I'm very, very grateful because it's helped shape me into who I am today. Now, I also know that I'm better today than I was a year ago, and I'm confident that a year from now I'll be better than where I am today. So your thinking, so again, I've known you a long time. You've always been an inspirational cat and an incredibly intense leader. What do you think in the last 5, 10 years, how have you reshaped your thinking, and what were those triggers? And then my second part to that question would be, we talked this about being such a small, small segment of the universe that can go out and pursue their passion and truly take their vision and put it in it and make it into something big and beautiful that makes a difference in the world. So my second part of the question is, where do people get stuck? How do they get stuck, and why do they abandon that? Why does it stay on the wall?
Yeah, let me back up for a second if we have time, because you said something that I thought was very key, and that I just want to capture your questions, but and then why stuck. But I think when you're gaining wisdom, obviously when you experience it, it's a different level of wisdom, because that's raw, that's personal. That is, you know, some of the mistakes I've made in my life are so humiliating and embarrassing. I don't know that I could ever forgive myself for some of those mistakes. However, that is one segment of wisdom, which is experiential wisdom. There's a second part to that, which is seeking wisdom. And seeking that wisdom is continuing to learn and to grow. It's going to others to find out input or gain insight that they've already experienced. And I'll give you an example. I'm setting up a lunch next week with a gentleman that raises money and has been raising money his whole life for ventures. He's very, very good at it. I haven't done that before. And in one of the businesses that I own, I need to go out and raise some capital. Well, this individual knows how to do that better than I do. And I'm having to go and take him to lunch to learn from him. No different than that our family here in Arizona is in the real estate business, and there are so many opportunities in the real estate sector for flipping homes, buying homes, investing in homes, and we're seeking out wisdom all around us to find that. So, yes, experience is that raw, you know, emotional individual experience, and then secondly, seeking wisdom and finding others that have done it before you can shorten your learning experience. And I think that's what wisdom is about. So back to your question about in the last 5 or 10 years, Johnny, there's been so many mistakes. I don't want to call them failures, because they're all learning in moments to really mention, and I think I would bore our listeners today to death because everybody has them. However, there's been some very pivotal moments for me that has brought me to my knees to look in the mirror. And one of those was when we had to send my youngest son away to a boarding school because he had gotten into drugs and alcohol and wasn't coming home and was, you know, doing a lot of delinquent type behavior, which candidly I did a lot of when I was younger, just not to this extreme. But I think that was such a moment where I felt like I had to outsource my son to somebody else to take over because his mother and I weren't able to handle it. And in that moment, I was not only embarrassed, I was humiliated, I felt like a failure, I was angry, you know, how did I miss this, how did we not catch this sooner? And so I think it takes a process to let those things go and work on the things that you can control. I wasn't in control of some of the decisions Sullivan was making. Those were his decisions. But what I had to learn to do was deal with some of that setbacks that allowed me to move forward and reset the vision for my life. And out of that came, I was missing a big faith component in my life that I didn't really think I was missing, and really helped me reshape my belief system, or at least dust off my belief system and what I would call, you know, somewhat choosing a different path for me. So I think there are those crucible moments. Some people call them aha moments, but for me, that was a very vivid one for me that said, you know what, I know there's something bigger I can be doing with my life. this moment happened to be a catalyst for money wasn't the problem. There were lots of things that weren't the problem. The problem was the relationship and the decisions my son was making that either his mother and I enabled, et cetera. And I don't need to go into a lot of details about it, but a very crucible moment for us and in our family about, wow, you know, you really can't hide from this thing. It's right there in your face. The second thing was you asked, you know, why do people get stuck? People don't necessarily get stuck. They get distracted, misdirected, and step off their path of what they believe they should have been on. And we talked about this briefly, Johnny, but there are lots of reasons why that happens. There could be a death in the family. There could be a health reason. There could be a different season in their life, a relocation, a job change. There's lots of reasons why people get stuck. And it really is a daily, weekly, monthly discipline to stay true to your vision. When everybody thinks you should be doing something else, what you know your skills and your knowledge and your gifts are, you know those are going to manifest themselves if you can put them in the right spot. And so stuck is one way to say that. I think another way to say that is, you know what, I just got off track, or I got distracted because I was attracted to something else. And that causes people to lose sight of what their true vision was. That's why most marriages break down. I got attracted to something else and got distracted. I've got attracted to making more money. I got distracted from spending time at home. I got attracted to spending more time at the pub and got distracted from spending quality time at my work environment. I got attracted to building a bigger house and building a bigger environment and more homes that I got distracted from managing the finances at my house. So there is a relationship there that will manifest itself and will take you off the course of your vision.
Let me ask you this, Tim, since we only have a couple minutes left, just because I want to make sure I'm clear, and I'd like, you know, I really want to hear your parting thoughts, but a couple things that really ring for me in this whole conversation today, and I wish we could talk about this for an hour easily. But I think, one, when you talk about your life experience, and I commend you for going so deep and being so honest and transparent, but it's visionaries like yourself. They're normal people, and I think people forget that. There's this perception out there that money solves everything, and like I said earlier, I can assure you that money solves very little, if anything, and can create more chaos than it can solve. But people, strong visionaries who people perceive, and it's however you define successful, are normal human beings with normal everyday challenges. We all get stuck. Every one of us, we run into these ruts. And you look at the large homeless population we have in our country today, and it's sad. I think what people forget are that our homeless populations are beautiful, wonderful human beings too, that whatever traumatic event took place in their life, whether it's going to have been war, it could have been something traumatic in a personal relationship, a death, that's all it takes. And that triggers someone to go in a different direction. When we talk about people getting stuck, it may not be to that extreme, God willing, but it's very, very similar. And it's being able to surround yourself with people who can help pull you out of that, give you support, give you inspiration to keep you moving forward. And I guess the other thing that I'll put out, and I've said this before, is that I would challenge all of us to remember one important thing, is that we are all miracles. Every single one of us on this planet is a miracle. We are not here by chance, and we are here to accomplish great things. No matter whether it's being the cover of a magazine, doing radio shows, running your own company, that's not how you necessarily define great. We all do great things every day, and sometimes we don't give ourselves credit for it. But we're all miracles. Don't let anyone ever tell you any differently, because you can and you do accomplish great things on a regular basis. But, Tim, closing thoughts from you, key points that you want to make for our listeners before I lose you today.
Yeah, to manifest your vision for you, whether it's your vision for your relationship,
Jim,
your health, vision for your
work. I know you're still
there.
Yep,
I'm still there.
See you here
Am I still there?
Did I lose you? Are you on mute?
Check real quick.
Hello. Are you there?
Hello, you there?
Did I lose Mr. McGeehan? Of course, I lose him right at the height of the show when he's going to give us all of his parting insights and his 3 to 5 keys to being a successful visionary. Well, with that, unfortunately, what it does mean is that we do miss out on it. The upside is this, though. It means that I will be bringing Tim McGeehan back on the show. We're going to have more conversation about the power of vision today and throughout history. And it means that we're going to have more fruitful conversations, not with just Tim, with some other amazing guests as we move forward. So with that, I will leave you all with this. Have a wonderful and blessed week. Thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites.